Blog Talk Radio. Because of a lion shall break every chain. The conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory again and again.
Johnny Taylor's guitar player for 5 years before Johnny died. But it was just amazing. it's just amazing. We just played a gig Thursday together. We had the whole band, the whole band. We did a outdoor gig Thursday, but I was just laughing at, to myself. I would tell Butler he's still bringing me up, and he didn't even know he was bringing me up. But we got a lesson, awesome. Brother Drew. We're gonna get off into some more esoteric knowledge, and esoteric knowledge is different from exoteric knowledge. The knowledge of Yah is strictly esoteric. It's nothing about the knowledge of Yah, which is a school of thoughts, which is the first school of thoughts and the oldest language known to mankind. It was nothing about exoteric knowledge. It's all esoteric knowledge, which means that was hidden knowledge, hidden up into secret societies. Each secret society had hid a certain knowledge and placed certain words. So the language we speak in is what is called Pidgin English, and English, and it's got its name, modern day English. Everybody think this is English. This ain't no English. This is what is known as Pidgin English when you study the history of this language. Like I say, everything is documentation beats BS conversation. That's my motto. So everything we document. Ism. We need to deal with two words, the definition of two words, ism. The definition of ism means the manner of action of a group of people, school of thoughts, or ways of life. That's what ism is. And usually the white boy, he puts ism on everything. We didn't ever put no ism on it, but he said this is an ism. So in order to get where he done messed up out of it, we have to put the ism in. And so that's why we are saying Yahwehism, because it is known in today's society as Yahwehism. It wasn't known as that. When you're dealing with the 12 laws of nature, the second law of nature is the laws of opposites, which meaning Yah, the school of thoughts of Yah, the teaching of Yah, is male and female. YA is male and YAH is female, and the number is 10. What we're going to go into tonight is some pretty heavy, heavy stuff, Brother Drew. We're going to go into Yah's science of motion and numbers. You have the definition of science is the knowledge of facts and laws arranged in a orderly system. So you had to understand system and what knowledge and what laws is and what facts is. Those are the key words into that sentence. That's the reason it has to be with documentation. So when we go into Yah's science of motion and numbers, we can understand a little better of who we are, and how do we arrive at this conclusion of who we were. You have learned last week that who you are mind, M-I-N-E. What's in this shell is a mind, your school of thine, the thoughts. Yah is collecting minds. If you have the mind to follow this school of thoughts, is that, yeah, I'm getting some static there, Brother Drew. You hear
it? No, I don't hear it on my end.
Okay, I guess it's on my end. But let me turn it down a little bit. This is school of thoughts deals with a way of life that deals with the 12 laws of nature. The first law of nature, we'll deal with the first law of nature. The first law of nature is the law of motion, which starts with the molecule. A molecule is a unit of the element. The element not be divided without the dilution of the molecule. Physical changes consist in the division of any substance in a group of matter into its constituent molecules. Chemical changes consist in the division of the molecules into component Adam. We're going to read the Bible like it's wrote, Brother Drew. We're going to re-get the metaphysics and the dogma that's in the Bible. That's how we're going to read it. We're starting with a Adam, a A-T-O-M. Your code in the Bible is spelled A-D-A-M. If you're in Egyptian colleges, it's Atum, the god Atum. The Adam. There are four kinds of atoms. All the others are merely molecules. The four atoms is called earth. The ancient called them earth, air, fire, and water. The modern day, my class told me to say culture chief, not white boy. Culture chief that gave you your culture, he calls it carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, and hydrogen. These are the bases from the so-called elements of chemistry was formed. The molecule is simply a structure form of the combination of all these four atoms. The ultimate atom, there are three ultimate atoms, Brother Drew. The ultimate physical atom, which is the unit of ether, that's breath. The ultimate vital atom, which is the unit of life force, and the utterly mental atom, which the African American has never been able to accomplish, which is the unit of mind, because you don't have your own mind. A mind is a school of thought. So you've been Anglo-Saxon to death. Your mind came out of a Gnostic way of teaching of the ancient Sophite school. That's what your education system is in the United States of America. You didn't go check this out when you got your PhD from your white daddy. I'm telling you that right now. These three are the basis of those three primates in which all things are formed, but the three primates themselves are structured from the one primate cosmic energy, which makes into an ultimate atom, which is make you ultimate conscious. You unconscious, conscious, and then you are utterly conscious. Then you have vibrations and the rhythms. All of this is in the first, which deal with electromagnetic energy. Electro is male, and magnetic is female, meaning it is the second law of nature is the law of opposites. And that law of nature shows you the electrical, magnetic polar laws of all things in nature as a cause of their dysfunctions, which give the key of things in themselves views in the absence. As you sit in your living room or wherever you sit, you're sitting in a field of electromagnetic energy. You had to know this. This is how you are made and how you are. These are facts. This is how it is. It ain't no wishy-washy or beating around the bush of explaining things. The way of Yah deals with science. It's strictly facts. This is what we deal with. This is how. So you can explain, Brother Jew. You can't explain how the first thing came in to existence and where it come from. You can't damn it. You can't explain it. But you can explain when this first thing came into existence. You can't explain in 2013 how it stays in existence. And it's nothing but evolution evolving over and over and over of this atom going over and over and over and over and over, making transfer, transfer, transfer. When they say it's in the blood, it ain't in the blood, it's in the mind. It's in minds. Schools of thoughts go and schools of thoughts disappear. They come and they go. Over a certain period of time, if you study ancient history, you'll see where the people believe this away, the people believe this away, and over a period of time, over a 2,000-year reign, mostly time, it took 2,000 years for this generation to go from one level to the other level, which we living in the ending of a 2,000-year reign, which is we're 13 years off into that period of that reign. Well, what I do know is that that dispensation of that is up with. It's up. It's that time period is up right now. So you are 13 years over into a time period that has ended, where you will see another form of ancient history coming into existence. So if we go into the Bible, Quran, Torah, Tanakh, it don't matter which one of your religious books you go, I like to use the Bible, or the Bible, a good history book to use. Ain't nothing holy about it, but it is a fantastic history book of the Jews, because the Jews wrote their history down. So they told you how it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, where you can go through the periods of every 2,000-year period in time, and you can see where this comeback, this mindset of comeback on the earth. You see tattoos. You see the Mexicans and tattooed all up, and black tattooed up. That ain't nothing new. We didn't do it in the 40s and the 50s. You got a tattoo if you was a sailor. I spent 30 years in the Navy, but I never got a tattoo. Now, I wouldn't let nobody stick no needles in me, Brother Truth. But what I do know is that you was told in all these ancient books not to tattoo up, but the Mexicans, which got tattooed up, and the blacks, well, they tattooed up. That's their heritage. That's part of what their ancestors did. They was, if you check out the ancient, well, a good movie to look at is that Apocalypse of the Maya. I think they made a movie of their culture, the sun worshipers, how they sacrificed and killed and went out and captured other tribes. They got that in a movie they were playing. I think it's Apocalypse or something like that. But anyway, that's part of their culture. That's why you see after 2,000 years, well, it's done come back that most of the young Mexicans you see, they tattooed up just like their old ancestors, the Aztec and the Mayans was. You got the same thing in the Chinese culture with the triads, that group of people. The samurai, which means black, the samurais was black. They ain't never left now. They just got a new name in a modern day name. But those people still had the mind of that skill, of those skills that they forefathers had. Those people haven't forgot that mind, that because when a mind come into existence, it might die down, but it'll come back into existence at a certain period of time. And when you study ancient history, you see every 2,000 years, you see another time period come into existence. So the ancient time period, in this history, we can see that the ancient time period of the ways of Yah, the teaching of Yah, and the schools of thoughts of Yah has started coming back into existence. Even to the standpoint, Brother Drew, where I know the ancient language, you and your children, because you taught your babies at an early age. I remember they grown and got children. Your babies was very, 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 very young when they first started coming to the classes and learning the name. Because I know your boy at 12 years old could teach the language. And these kids learn this language. But we noticed that around about 1980, 1990, when we was practicing, you know, studying this knowledge, we noticed that the people started naming their children with the ancient language in it, like Shawana, Shahada, Makisha, and all of these Shahs and Nas and Mas and Kas that you see all the language in the names of the young girls, that, and they don't even know that they got an ancient name or what it even means. Some of them, like Alilia, she played with a name that she didn't know anything about. Because when you wearing that name, you pick up that energy in this language. When you wearing a name that comes out of this language, it carries the energy with it. I'm telling you about this. That's the reason this knowledge is not for everybody. To speak the language, you got power in the language. To prove to you that you got power in the language, the Jews wrote an account in a book called the Bible of the people that spoke in this language, the power they had. All the prophets that you call prophets in the Bible that could see, they spoke this language and they were tight with Yah. They was in the ways of Yah. They did not break that dietary law and they did not break the laws of Yah. Now, the laws of Yah is different from that of the priesthood that got all mixed up, because the laws of Yah deal only with the 12 laws of nature and the dietary laws of how you are made. And that's what that deal with. In the Masonic order, when we talk about secret society, this is called Mr. Boaz. They teach you this knowledge. This is the knowledge that you learn when you're coming through as an apprentice. This is the early steps of your life, because you had to know how a plant is grown. Boaz deal with a seed. And what's so important about a seed? Why is it so important to know about a seed is that this explains a myth. In this language, they call it myth. Now, when you say myth, what is they talking about? Is they talking about M-I-S-S? When my daddy was teaching me his knowledge, he told me, hey, I ain't talking about no M-I-S-S. I ain't talking about no M-I-S-T. I'm talking about a M-I-D-S-T, something you can't see. My daddy told me that's what he would become up on my butt at certain times when I made him become a mist, something you couldn't see. So he had already explained what a mist was to me, you know, because they gave me this knowledge of the ancient ways of Yah through word of mouth. I got most of my knowledge through word of mouth from my great-great-grandfather, who was born in 1840 died in 1960. We called him Candy Beard. I got a lot of that knowledge from him, and then other old folks that was in uncles, like Uncle Bebop and Uncle James, Uncle Leroy, all these people was Masons. That they was Choctaw, and they was Cherokees and Cushitas, and they knew their language and they knew where they come from. They knew their school of thoughts and what they was teaching. White folks didn't, like Grandpa said, he ain't never signed a peace treaty with a white man. White man didn't raise him. And I always tell anybody that I wasn't taught by we the people. I was taught by colored people, people that look like me. My grandchildren is taught by we the people. There might be any damn thing teaching them. Any right. Culture, and so that plays an important part on you. Everybody taught me. I knew who was teaching me. I knew who was what tribe they was from and everything. Right there in Crockett, Texas.
Okay, brother,
now, Brother Drew, let me roll for about 20 minutes before I take a call so I can get through this.
Right.
I ain't going to be that long in getting through this, but let me roll out and explain a couple of more things, and I'll take some calls. But I wanted to, for you to understand these laws of nature deal strictly with science. When a seed, Brother Drew, gives off a molecule that is called M-I-D-S-T, a mist, and this comes up through the ground, the naked eye can't see it. Then the mist becomes a mist that turns into dew. It'll turn into dew. The dew will go up and become a cloud. Now, when you see a cloud, Brother Drew, you can't see a cloud for 15 minutes because a cloud floats on air. Clouds that these jets have made so they can modify the weather they stand still, Brother Drew, them fake clouds that somebody done mess with modification of the weather, and we have to talk about that one to one day. They done modified the weather, but that ain't a cloud, Brother Drew. See, and then the cloud, Brother Drew, it gets heavier than gravitation, and it becomes rain, snow, or hail, and it comes back to Earth. It turns into water and comes back to Earth, and the water hit the seed, and the seed shoots up. The seed take root and shoot up and start building the trunk. This is how life begins, with the seed that your food bears you. You started the same way. All life began that same way. And that ain't taught to us because we're not taught in our proper way of teaching. This is what makes Yahwehism so powerful. And if you learn the language, I grant you, you become one of the most powerful people in the world when you learn the language. And we had to know, last week we learned where we was located. Where we are located, this place is called Earth. It is located beneath the waters on the ninth star that travels 1,033 miles per hour around the Oriole Plains and the Milky Way of the universe, called a planetarium. When some breatharians that are fruitarian and vegetarian lived here until some breatharians became cannibals, who was an Aryan nation of people who called themselves gods, came to Earth as Nephilims and reptilians from the 10th and 11th star, which Yah had destroyed this planet. Now that star, you can see those stars in the substance where the stars is gone, but it becomes a twinkle, twinkle little star because Yah has killed the gods of that star and that place and that light, that so-called inhabitants of Earth knew Yah had killed their gods and was the master of Earth and not of these two planets where the gods come from. That's the story that you find in the sixth chapter of Genesis and in Deuteronomy, the second chapter of Deuteronomy. This is the story that's coded of where the Aryan nation people came 2,000 years ago for 250 million years on this planet called Earth was a colored nation of people. Colored people. That's the reason two-thirds of the world population is colored right now. But some aliens came from outer space on a galactic war. It tells you that in the cave in the Quran, in the book of Genesis, Bereshit, in the Torah, it tells you where these people come from. They tell you your history, but you as a black person that call yourself an African-American, that's a Christian, that's a Democrat, you are illiterate to this knowledge, and it's right there in front of you. You can only be ignorant when knowledge is not available. But when knowledge is available like it is now, you are a zip-down fool to keep on believing that you're an African-American Negro singing We Shall Overcome and praying to a half-naked butt white boy that's a hippie on a stick. Now, I'm going to tell it just like a T.I.T. is because it's shown up that way. You tell me what your white Jesus, I want one of you Christian preachers to tell me what your white Jesus have ever done for a black man. His name wasn't Jesus. As long as you worship him in the name of Jesus, he said, my people should call on me by my name. Well, his name ain't Jesus. His name is YA. That's his name. Point blank, tell you that in Psalm 68 and 4 in your Bible and read Psalm 68 and 5 so you get a better understanding. Reading is comprehension. All gods is a Germanic word. The first God came out of the Shemaims, and God strictly is Germanic. It's a Germanic word when you use it, and they first God in today's language is Ea, the God of Earth. fertility god. They got 330,000 different gods. You just name the god that you tell me that you name, I'll tell you what year it came. So that's what I'm talking about now. I'll take a call now, Brother Drew.
Okay, let's go to the call line. See if 214-586 is still on.
Hey, yeah, peace. I don't know what happened. It just kept kicking me out of the queue or whatever. But yeah, I'm on here listening to that information.
Oh, okay. Yeah, did you have a question or are you just listening?
Yeah, I'm just listening. Yeah, I don't have any questions or nothing. I'm just listening.
Oh, all right. Appreciate your call. All right, Brother DeWatt, you need a break. I can play a song real quick if you need a water break.
Oh, no, I don't need no break, Brother Drew. I'm going to give you the 12 laws of nature. We're going to take them one at a time. Because the laws of opposite is the laws of motion is the first law. The laws of opposite is the second law. The third law of nature is very important. It's one of the... what they call the furniture of the Masonic Lodge is the scales. The scales represent balance, the law of balance. You have to be balanced. Well, everything has to be balanced. It can't be imbalanced, Brother Drew. Now,
right.
It's recorded in history. Why do you think the weather is like it is now? When you cut trees and move mountains on this planet, Yah said one thing. The teaching of Yahwehism tell us that you imbalance the earth. You putting asphalt everywhere you see is building. Everywhere you see is asphalt. Temperature going sky high. You cutting the rainforest down. This is what Magog and Gog is doing. That's what your Bible calls your white daddy, Magog and Gog, in case you don't know who he is. I know you African Americans don't know who he is, but his name is Magog and Gog in your Bible. This is what he's doing. He's cutting the rainforest. Ain't nobody doing it but him. He's the only one. That's a Germanic race of people you call white folks over here. They changed their name May the 1st, 1776, to an American. But if they want to know where they came from, tell them to ask me. And I tell them their history that they done wrote down. But most of them know their own history. So he done told you what he would be doing. The earth with nature follows the 12 laws of nature. The earth, if you imbalance the earth, Brother Drew, it will balance itself out in the form of earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunami, and all of this, killing millions and millions and millions and millions of people. Just because one nation of people, Magog and Gog, has did this. That's what your Bible say. I didn't say it. The Bible said, but I'm damn sure looking at it because I can read and I can comprehend what I read. I didn't write this. This was wrote way before I got here. I just got here in 46 this time around this old shell. Got here in 46. But this was wrote many years. 6,000 years ago about they melted and what they would do and whose ways and what ways got you had to go in, see. And all of this stuff is in your blood. You just got to have them, you know. You can't stand it most. And see, it's very sad because, see, I remember colored people, Brother Drew, and I look at the African American, that's black and proud. You know, and I listen to his music. And it's a funny thing about his music, Brother Drew, his music. See, the father of music, if you go in the Bible, you notice and go into Genesis 4 and 21, you'll read about Jubal, J-U-B-A-L, the father of music. He was the ancestor of those who played the harps and the pipes. He's the demon of people getting possessed. He was also worshipped as Pan, the ancient Greek half-man and half-goat deity, which ties back to the goat that you find in the Masonic lodge that you ride, Brother Drew. This ties into the scapegoats of the sacrifice of ancient Israel. This goes back to Samuel, poison those of El, the evil one. Pan is the demon over music. He is the one responsible for God's people today getting possessed by music. And how I know, Brother Drew, I've been playing music 55 years. I played 49 years, 7 nights a week in the nightclub. So I understand what music would do to your mind. Because, see, music gets into your mind. Because, see, here we go now, Brother Drew. Why is music part of the mind? Because, see, the fourth law of nature is the music of the things, showing that music on the things is a fact in nature and rendered of the same vibration. This vibration gives into the rhythm, which is the fifth law and sixth law of nature, is the rhythm of life, showing the nature of life, and then the rhythm of the mind gives the nature of the mind and the rhythm which manifests itself. So when your 1964, Brother Drew, when the Sissies took over gospel music with James Cleveland, he won the Academy Awards. Then here come Charles Fold, Donna Vale, O'Neill Twins, and all Walter Hawkins and all the boys. They started tuning their instrument on 440 and not middle C. Tommy Dorsey put into gospel music in 1950, him and Shirley Caesar, the flatted seventh note, Brother Drew, which is the blues seventh. You know, they play hymns and stuff. My mama taught music for, well, she still teaches. She's 86 years old now. And she taught us at 9 years old I could read and write music and play the piano. See, the flatted seventh is the blues seventh that put the juice on it that you couldn't play that, what they call Dorsey style of music back in the 50s. They didn't allow that kind of music in the church house. My mama played and got thrown out of a Presbyterian church, and when she went to a Methodist church, and they organized a choir with that played Tommy Dorsey style of music with the flatted seven. That's where contemporary, and then here come James Cleveland and the Sissies. They all came on the scenes then, and you let the homosexuals come in your church services, giving them Academy Awards. You had him and a whole lot of them got Academy Awards for being Sisters of the Year in gospel music. Vibration, this takes on energy, this messes with people's mind, is the vibration of the music. Then here comes the hip-hop music, Brother Drew. This music, we was calling ourselves soul sisters and soul brothers. Our music was soul music. White boy was running like 560, wanting to be a blue-eyed soul brother. Oh, man, I'm a blue-eyed. When we were stationed in Norfolk, Virginia in 63 and 64 and 65, every white boy wanted to be a blue-eyed soul brother. And some of them white boys learned how to dance, and some of them learned how to play them instruments like soul brothers back in that day and time, which they done mastered it now, and mastered learned how to dance it from Michael Jackson. But they done mastered this now. We call ourselves soul brothers, and everybody wanted to be like us. White boy didn't have no rhythm. When he got rhythm and blues in 1970, you notice something in music, the awards and stuff became rhythm and blues awards. Well, this rhythm and blues, that ain't blues. Bobby Bland, B.B. King, Lil Milton, these people sang the blues. These people that you say that singing the blues today, them people don't sing no blues. When it became rhythm and blues, I never will forget. I laughed on the stage. And a white boy was playing with us, Jeremiah, was playing with us, playing the keyboard. I told him that you white people changed the music to rhythm and blues when y'all got a little rhythm. And Stevie Ray Vaughan came out and he could play the blues. And you got rhythm and blues. Then you say, well, the white boy got rhythm. We're going to change it to rhythm and blues. And then you became rhythm and blues and you forgot about blues. See, because T-Bone Walker become forgotten. Those people become forgotten. Little Richard, who started rock and roll, he started rock and roll, him and Chuck Berry, but he's not given credit for that. They even took his records and stuff. And then, so you got to understand what music do to you. Now, in those, see, you got what the dances of today is different from the dances of the 60s. You know, today, what children of the generation call dancers is really non-dancing. They are just jumping up and down or bouncing around doing anything they call a new dance step. They call it freestyle. Back in the 80s, there was break dancing, a dangerous dance that could create, from the spinning on your head, create brain damage. It's called brain damage. This is just one of them tools of the brain damage and the brain damage of the young kids that were spinning on their head and carrying. This messes up your medulla oblongata, the lower part of the brain that controls your body function when you spinning in those motions. And then today you got the robot dancing, which is a dance made that look like monkeys, like the group cross crisscross, their clothes on, backwards jumping up and down, their movements have nothing to do with rhythm or coordination. Rap music is not really music. It is edited and split of music combined to make music with an offbeat, non-rhythmic and non-music called music. This offbeat, that's why the white boy pick it up so good, because he's an offbeat person. White boy never could, but he dancing now because of hip-hop music. He got an offbeat. See, you got no beat in that. I read and write music. You show me the damn how you write it. You can't write it. That's why it's so easy for Caucasians like Vanilla Ice and Three Bass and Beastie Boys and blah, to fit in the so-called black music world. But this black music is actually on a white beat, which is offbeat, at the basis of every ethnic group, Oriental, Latino, Nubian, you find a drum, except to the European music, classic music. Religious people who did not have a route in music created such groups like Sunni Muslims, who tell Nubian people not to do that in their religion. And they got this thing, Psalms 149 and 150, all messed up about that, because Yahwehism ain't about no praising and worshiping. Yahwehism is only about one thing, Brother Drew: obey the law. Obedience to that law of the 12 laws of nature and the dietary laws. That's Yahwehism. And it ain't for everybody. And it's got to be in your DNA for you to accept it in the year 2013. The number 13 means immediate death. We're in the year 13. That year 13, that number 13. And so when we deal with the numbers, then we can understand. See, you are made out of the four elements, Brother Drew. Your number is five. Your mind is the fifth element. And your number is five. But somebody told you that your number, the number of man and beast is six. The number of a supreme being, that is a Yah man, that is male and female, his number is five, because he's made out of the four elements, the shell, and his mind is the fifth element, meaning your number is five, and the number five means power. When you study the laws of the numbering system of Yah, Brother Drew, you know that, you know. And so when you got this, all of this knowledge of how to be and what to be, I mean, and I'm always grateful, Brother Drew, to the Zionist Jews who left this knowledge out here. It's just that you had to go entertain it. And because of my bloodline, it made me go entertain it. Because I'm saying right now, Brother Drew, that old song that them Christians say, I know it was the blood. Well, I'm getting to understand that song a little better when I used to sing it in the church house, Brother Drew, and turn the church out with it. I'm understanding it a little better because DNA, I'm understanding what DNA is, and that is that
right.
Anybody that accept Yah, the ways of Yah, is in your DNA. I'm looking at that now because we know for a fact a minion has came and gone and that entertaining. But the people that have stuck by it, it's in your DNA. Most of the people know about that. Now, you had to understand, next week I want to do on gods. Who are the gods? We're going to go into the sixth chapter of Genesis. Who are these gods that came down out of the Shamaims that start multiplying on earth and into where we got 330,000 of these, the history of 330,000 of these different gods. The first law in the ways of Yahwehism is do not have any God's knowledge before my knowledge. That's how that reads. Don't have no gods before me. That's the way it reads. But don't have no God's knowledges of gods. He clearly told you don't eat the foods of gods. If you sit down, Yah knew you were going to have to deal with the people of God. You're going to have to live amongst the people of gods, just like we're doing, Brother Drew. And you might have some friends that's people of gods, like I do. But like I told Doc, the Nash, when I sit down at the table to eat with him, I say, you go over there in the book of Proverbs, Doc, and he asked me, how come you ain't eating meat? I say, if I eat, I have to cut my damn throat. He said, well, show it to me in the Bible, because I know you know. I said, look, in the book of Proverbs, and say that I'm going to sit down with a great leader like you at his table, and he going to bring all of these sweet, forbidden foods that smell so good and look so delicious. But before I put one droplet of this into my mouth, it said, put a knife at my throat and cut my goddamn throat. That's what I told him. I said, now you read it right here. It said, cut my throat. I said, now you don't want me to cut my damn throat at the table over here, sweet George Brown, do you? So Nash just laughed. And I went on. I didn't eat. I got some tea. But that's discipline. That's discipline. You can't eat their food. You can be a yaman and be around these people. It ain't no big thing being around the people. You can keep the law. Now, the priesthood laws, you know, that the 613 laws and all these laws, well, that ain't Yahwehism. That's Yehudaism, priesthoodism of a Mesmerite Jew. So you had to understand that there are different sectors of Jews. You got the Zionist Jew, you got the Orthodox Jew, you got the Mesmerite Jew, you got the conservative Jew, you got the liberal Jew. You got the Sunni Muslim, you got the Baha'i Muslim, you got the Sufi Muslim, and you got the Nation of Islam. All of them different Muslims that practice Islam different. All of these is a different Jewish rim that's practice Yehudism, because ain't no, I call it what it is, Yehudism, different from each other. So which one of them is right and which one of them is wrong, you got to know which one was here first when you were out there studying and gathering the knowledge. Like I said, this is esoteric knowledge. This is some pretty heavy knowledge that you can go, if you have a mind to entertain it, you go off and entertain it, because you deal with so many different knowledge. What makes it so good, Brother Drew, is that you understand colors, vibration, especially vibration, because see, vibration, when things start vibrating, you know, like my daddy used to say, is that emotion is, he said, there you go, getting emotional. That's what he would say. How would he even say? And then he would break down, he'd say, when you get emotion, that's putting your energy, and put your energy in motion, which that E stand for. That's a compound word. Then when you put energy in motion, you become a danger not only to yourself but everybody that's around you. I mean, because you emotional, and your mind will go on a sentimental journey, and go on a senile journey. I'm going to break that word down, sentimental journey. The different things that when your mind is not in tune with the teaching of Yahwehism, and your mind get all frustrated, how it go from sentimental all the way down the chain, Brother Drew, when you're dealing with just the school of thoughts of how do the mind work? How do your mind work? And what is your mind? And so this is the key. I mean, you had certain things, like in the teaching of Yahwehism, it tells you point blank, to come out of her, my people. When you read in the Bible, it says, come out of her, my people. When you read that passage, that's talking about the people that believed in Yahweh, the ways of Yah. That school of thoughts, that's what it is. When you hear, if my people call on me by my name, they would be blessed, that's talking about the people that believe in Yah, not the people that believe in God. Because when you say God, that's a title. You ain't gave nobody's name. You gave a title. There you go. I believe in God. God said this. God said that. God said this and God said that. That's what you're going to tell on me. But tell me, what's his name? Because the book says, if my people call on me by my name, you would be blessed. Well, we know that Yah ain't a God, and we ain't going to call on Yah by his name, but we're going to be in the name of Yah, following and obeying his laws that he set here for you to pass your test with, why you walk to and forth, up and down in this earth, Brother Drew. That's what this teaching is about. And this teaching ain't going to save you. It ain't going to give you no Holy Ghost and hallelujah. It ain't going to give you no good feeling. It only gives you a peace of mind when you do and treat your body right. You're supposed to rest your body 24 hours. That's what Shabbat means. That's from sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. You ain't supposed to eat nothing or do anything. You can go 24 hours without eating if you purify your body away from all of that, stop being cannibals. and purify your body, you can do this. It's very easy. You have to rest your body. R-E-S-T. Not get up and praise and worship and do the Holy Ghost. Lay on your butt and rest. Not do anything. That's what that means, Brother Drew, when it say one day of rest. Because your body is a machine that needs to be rest. Feeding it is fuel, H2O, water. Feeding it is fuel. Purify your water. Get the damn chlorine out of it. Hell, if you got boiled water, get that damn chlorine out of the water, because your body wasn't chlorine. Drink spring water if you can, but all that chlorine and stuff, our bodies are not made for chlorine. We just done been genetically modified and genocized that chlorine is a poison. My grandmother drank well water. She didn't drink no damn chlorine. That's for all the people in Crockett. Most of them live, all them people that lived 100 and some years old in Crockett, Drew, they went on city water. They got well water. I know where Big Mama's land is, 5 wells up there. Ain't Wayman's land next door, 10 wells on there. I know where every last one of them. Some of them ain't even standing. My cousin bought some land from my brother. I had to go show him. I said, boy, I don't want you falling in this damn well back here. You don't know nothing about it. I knew where the well was and showed it to him. It ain't covered up or nothing. It either fell dead in that well, because ain't no sign that it was a well there. But it's water everywhere. And Grandpa and them used to what they call whoosh for it. They get a willow stick. I don't know how they did it, but I know that stick started bending where water is and stuff. I used to see Grandpa and them do that. They whoosh for the, they call it whoosh for the wells, and they did well. We got plenty wells down in Crockett, man. That everybody's place down in Crockett got a well on their property, man. Well, you're going to need that. If you do got one, get your electric pump right now and do that. And go down there and fix up your old ancestors. In your Bible, Brother Jude, there's a good saying in the book of Proverbs, say, don't remove the ancient landmarks. Mean don't remove the ancient ways of teaching. You need to teach your girl. The female need to teach the female home economic. We once had that in the school system. The daddy need to teach the boy agriculture. We used to have it in the black school. That was when we was colored people, Brother Drew. We was segregated. We had the black and gold, the NFA and the NHA. The NFA, Prof. William told me this for Nigger Farmers of America. They said we was New Farmers of America. So how in the hell could we be New Farmers of America? And they was the Future Farmers of America, FFA and FHA. We was the New Homemakers of America. And how could we be the Future Farmers of America and the New Homemakers of America when those African slaves was on the farm and making a white man's home way before he didn't know a damn thing about housekeeping, him and his wife.
Right.
Preserving food, preserving food, curing food, killing or raising food. He didn't know a damn thing. So how in the hell could we be a New Farmers of America? Prof. Williams said, no, you nigger farmers of America, because you've been here. He was here, and we were black and gold. Our color was black and gold. And when I was a sophomore in school, I won talent, and our quartet went all the way to the nationals. We had 2 quartets come and go tonight. We used to have contests, Brother Drew, of quizzes and judging cows and all of this stuff. The black man knew this, and then we had carpenters that build stuff. You had projects, you build a gun rack. I got big, my mama still got the coffee table that I made when I was in the 9th grade, when I welded this coffee table and refined the wood on the machine, cut the design with the lathe and all of that. I was taught this by black people, Brother Drew. I wasn't taught by white folk, but my grandchildren are. and your children and your grandchildren are. See, so that's the difference in the teaching and the school system today. Because when you mean, say, integrate, that means to simulate. When you say segregate, like I came through a segregated system, that means you all by yourself.
Brother DeWatt, I got to take one of them out of there. I got to homeschool the son, so I homeschooled him, so he wasn't taught in their ways either. So that's why I guess he don't walk in their ways.
Right. So the ones that you home train, see, Keela was home trained. We got a lot of my grandbabies was home trained over here. See, the home trained Vela. Home train all of her children. She don't let them sit foot, and they reading at 2 years old, Brother Drew. Every last one of them, all three of them, they reading.
Right.
When they hit through, got one right now about two, Malik, he started younger than any of them. She started him, because she know how to do it now. She got how to teach it. And she's a Muhammad. She's with the Nation of Islam, Lavella Muhammad, but she teaching them kids. And see, Drew, there was one, when I came up, Drew, when there was a colored community, the word community means a group of chosen people organized to support some cause. This community was started in a slave retirement. That community was called the Quarters, Brother Drew. And these people lived in huts. When you came out of slavery, your community became wards and sides. And the white man redlined you and put you in first ward, second ward, third ward, fourth ward, fifth ward, south side, west side, east side, but you didn't go to the north side because you live across the track. And when we go and play football, Brother Drew, we knew when we sometimes Fessel would be lost. We knew when we was in the black cars, Fessel would say, where the road? Railroad track. Let's cross the railroad track. When you cross the railroad track, you're in the black neighborhood. That's where it was used to be. Yes, Diddy.
Right.
And you lived as colored people. Then in 1950, some white people in, I think it was Chicago or New York, I think it was Chicago, they looked over there and seen how great that you was doing, buying homes, them Jim Walker homes, and you was having a home. They say, well, the niggas is gaining too much. They going to college, getting doctor's degrees and stuff, and the black folks in the 40s and 50s. And then in 1950, he looked over there, and he said, well, let's give him, let's make a project out of him. And they put you in what they call the projects, and you nickname it the Jets. That's what you nickname. And then they gave you welfare and Section 8. And after 10 years of this treatment, your Jets became infested with drugs, alcohol, sex, and unwedded mothers. There are teenagers having babies out of wedlock, and your neighborhood became the ghetto. And after 10 years of living in the ghetto with the drugs and the hip-hop music and the knowledge and the ways of the life of the ghetto boys with drive-by shootings and killing off each other, you say, I ain't no soul brother, I ain't no soul sister no more. I'm a bitch and a hoe and a dog and a fool. And I'm wearing my pants sagging and my dress becomes so short that everybody can see my coochie. And as I pop my coochie and wave my ass, now your ghetto has become the slums. and I have become infested with AIDS and all kinds of disease because I'm gay and a lesbian and I'm a black America that's black and proud of being a hip-hop, that's a Christian, that's hippity-hoppity down the bunny trail. Well, my question is, if what is hip is hip, you is hipper than hip. That's what old Meatball know about you in the year 2013 as we speak, Brother Drew. And if I'm lying to you, you can come take a journey down any street in any American town. I done told you your history. That's your history, brother. Right down to the T, Brother Drew. I ain't missed now a lick of it. If I miss the lick, I kiss your butt at high noon on Main Street with NBC, ABC, and CBS looking. That's the way you Christian look, you and your children. Ain't no Nation of Islam children, and they people looking like that. Ain't no Hebrew Israelite Jews children and stuff looking like you Christians.
Right.
With y'all Holy Ghost, holy saving butts. That's just how ignorant it is, because you got your white daddy's religion and your book tell you to come out of his ways, and if somebody has enslaved you, don't go in their ways calling yourself him, which if I ask you your name, you're going to tell me you. I kind of believe what the Mormon Bible say, that black people would used to be white and curse black. I find that intriguing in 2013, because whenever I talk to a black face, I'm talking to a white man, because I said, what's your name? He tell me a white man name. What's your belief? He tell me I'm with Jesus. I'm a Democrat. I'm a blue blood Democrat. That's what he gonna tell me, Drew.
If I stop
any hip hopper on the street and ask him, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. When the hip hoppers have their hip hop show, what he say? I thank Jesus. This is Jesus' followers. What did Jesus say about this? See, Jesus warned you in the Sermon on Mount Olives about some stuff that's going on that I don't think, because your preachers can't read and comprehend, shit, you can't see this. So your book can tell you the story. See, I'm just only reading for y'all. See, I'd be like the sissies, Drew. When the sissies, see, the sissies got their own talk. See, when they drop something on somebody, they say, I'll read you most beautifully. But see, I'm have to read to these Christians most beautifully. You see, my uncle was a sissy, Drew. That's the reason I know sissy talk. So you can't fool me. when you're trying to fool me, we got two or three of them that got some people fooled. When I play chess up there, and I come in, and so I listen to your talk. You might look like a man, but you're using some words as you talk coming out of you. You know me. You can't slip around me. Your vocabulary that gives your school of thoughts away. See, when I listen to you, Drew, you know me. You've been around me over about 20-something years. You know time. Me don't even have to hear you speak, because he look at you and see how you dress and your attire, but he'd rather for you to speak, because out of your mouth come who you believe in, your school of thought. And so you can't fool me about who you are. If you might look like a he-man, but if you slip with me with certain words, like pee, and I'm going to pee on you, and mommy, and all of this stuff. Those are words that I've heard my uncle say. And my mama was a music teacher and didn't teach nothing but sisters. One day, me and my daddy come home, and mama was giving an opera. They was practicing for an opera at Marion College. We live right next door to Marion College. And mama was practicing for Tar Raider, that opera called Tar Raider. And all these gays were sitting there, but me and daddy came in. Daddy said, Junior boy, let's get out of here. It looked like a sissy convention in the house. I never will forget that. But I know they talk. You pick up on their language. So this is that. I mean, it's just like you can pick up on people's talk, what's called hip talk and jive talk. different language. That's another good subject, too. What is the history of this language we speak? Because did you know that this language we speak ain't that many English words in it? It's a lot of Jute words, which you had to know who the Jutes was, which was a Germanic tribe that the Saxons killed. But you had to know all of that, you know. So once you get all of that, you know, you'll get all of that knowledge. But this, you know, if anybody got any questions they want to ask about the 12 laws of nature that governs everything in creation, ain't nothing in creation not under these 12 laws, Brother Drew. And that's right. What makes so unique is that we know that this is a fact. And this was the
right.
teaching of Yah from the beginning, you know. So we know these to be facts.
You know what,
you know?
Brother DeWater, one of the things that stuck with me from the you know, learning with the brothers and sisters is, you know, I still use this in everything when I meet somebody. I define them real quick, you know, in the first few seconds as you instructed. So I learned how to define people that I meet, so I know what the schools of thoughts they're coming out of. So that's the one that
right.
I always use on a daily basis. Every time I meet somebody, you know, I let them say a few words, and I you know, like you said, I know where you're coming from in them first few words, who you are, what you, a lot of your thoughts of, you know. Once you start practicing and training yourself like that, you know who you're dealing with in just a few seconds.
You know after you study that's 26 personalities that a person can have. And Tyrone, I'm going to get that rascal on, I don't know where he is. But Tyrone do a beautiful job of teaching those 26 different personalities. And what's so killing about it, do you know that, I think that's up to almost 80% of the people in the United States. It came out, Paul Tyrone did a lecture on it about a couple of months ago, that 80%, over 80% of people in America is suffering from a mental condition. And a paranoid schizophrenic is the most common one of those. So Tyrone breaks down what to look for in these, when you meet a person and they got these symptoms of this, and that he breaks down these personalities, which is a tremendous lesson. But, you know, I already knew it, but I didn't know what they was called. You know, I would know they have a mental condition. I didn't know what the mental condition was called until Tyrone taught the lesson on it, and it enlightened me a little more where I could. And then when you meet these people, Brother, the reason that it's so unique of Yah, the teaching of the ways of Yah, is that when you meet these people, you know how to hound this person, because you can't get angry at this person when he, you know, he's got this mental condition. He might say something that most people would get under, but you had to understand that this is this person's school of thoughts. This is the way he's thinking, and he's mentally unstable. He needs some help, but he can't get no help. You can't really be down on this person. You know what I'm talking about, Drew?
You identify
what's in front of you. That's what Yahwehism is all about.
Right.
It's for you to be able to identify your enemy that ain't in the ways of it, because you have to be, see, the only way that you can be where is that you first had to be aware. And you can't be aware of any situation till you know what aware, till you are aware of the situation. When you are aware of what you are meeting and talking to, then your mind should be able to be just like a computer diaphragm. What goddamn fool you talking to that's standing in front of you? You
right.
should be able to compute this out.
Yeah,
just
what,
like that.
Yeah,
you know? And you know you're talking to a fool, but you should be able to maintain a peace of mind because you know what you're talking about. That's what mind is. That's what the teaching of Yahweh is. It teaches you how to deal with people on a higher plane and a higher level than that person that's standing in front of you. Because know what he is and what school of thought he is. And that's one of the aspects of when you
mind the block. Well, I sure be there. Shit.
Uh-oh. I'm going to come to 469. I think I opened the mic a little too fast. 469-726. You all? 469-726. All right. 469-726. If you have another question or if you have a comment, just press 1 twice. Your phone is lit up. All right. Go ahead, Brother DeWatt.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that teaching is a high teaching, you know, and you find the teaching in every religion. You had to go in and take out Yahwehism is found in every religion, meaning that truth is mixed with a lie. But the worst one of those religions is Christianity. I mean, because most of the ancient beliefs, they don't break the only Christians break the dietary laws. I mean, people that actually practice Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, Yin and Yang, Confucianism, and Islam and Yehudaism, these people, they don't eat pork. Only the Christians eat pork. They live under grace from the law. And your book should tell you about what you put into your body and stuff. I mean, it tells you to beware. Your Bible warns you to beware of a certain race of people if you're reading the Bible correct. Right? We ain't player hating on nobody. It's just that's what it said. I mean, here's what I know for a fact, Brother Drew. White people, where they got their education from, it's Anglo-Saxon who changed his name to the American. His forefathers, they couldn't read. If they could read, Brother Drew, and some of them could read, that's the reason it was against the law to let us read. Their children didn't know what they were because they educated us. Reading is comprehension. That's what it is. So when you read the Bible, not called words, and from the Christians go to Bible class every Wednesday, Brother Drew, and ain't understood what the Bible is saying yet. Every year they're supposed to be able to complete it, the Bible. They're supposed to complete it during Bible study. Well, my question is, when you got to Proverbs 3, verse 31, what did it say? If you just kept reading on through the Bible and then stop at that one proverb, it ain't but 9 words, it's a short statement that's directly to the point. It says, "Envy not your oppressor, choose none of his ways." Well, when you read that, if you comprehended what that said, then you would look at your education and what ways you're in. And you would immediately find out, just by asking yourself, what is my name, that you was in the ways of a white man, your oppressor. You are a ex-slave. That is if you could read. But you left your reading for your preacher. Well, your preacher can't read. And the reason that he can't read is because he has went to a school system that can't read. Why would white people give you a book called King James Revised Version of the Bible, 1881, with the Angelic Gospel Christian Episcopal Churches of the Western Churches of this hemisphere believe in? I don't give a damn what non-denomination or denomination you are. if you fall up under the Apostle Creed, Nicene Creed, Tertullian Creed, if you're going and in a church here in America, that goes for the Church of Christ, which they say they ain't, but you up under those teachings because you believe in the Trinity. That's Tertullian teaching. You're up under that Nicolaitan doctrine, which you find in Revelation 2, verse 15. That's what this church, that's what this church system in this hemisphere is up under. That is your system that you up under. You don't have to be a genius to that, but you can't read. In this book, it says that the tribes of Magog and Gog was an evil nation of people, and don't go into the earth, that they were the devil. They were Lucifer's people. You got that all over the Bible. Well, Magog, Gog, and Tubal, who are those people in this day and time as we speak? Well, evidently, the American who gave us the Bible in 1870 when he got off the plantation, the African-American got off the plantation, evidently he couldn't read because he gave you a book that told you it was the truth that called him a devil. And only a damn fool would give you a book that call you a devil and say it is the truth. The book is the truth. Whereas the book is the truth, well, hell, read the book. What it says about Magog and Gog in the book of Ezekiel, in the book of Revelation, what do it say? Go read it and understand what you're reading. Go to the 10th chapter of Genesis in your Bible and see who the tribes of Magog, Gog, and Tubal belong to. It gives you right there at the 10th chapter of Genesis. Go read it, understand it, and quit calling yourself a black Gentile. You're a damn fool. How the hell are you going to be a black Gentile? Hell,
right.
Gentile came from the Caucasus Mountain. You are a Hamitic, Semitic race of people if you got any color of skin. And here you is calling yourself, I'm a Gentile. What kind of Gentile? I'm a black Gentile. You's a fool.
All right, Brother DeWalt, we're getting down to the last 10 minutes. Did you want to go over the... I said, we're getting down to the last 10 minutes on the program, or did you want to name off the rest of those laws, or you want to continue with a part two to this program?
We're going to do more on the laws, and like I said, next week we're going to try to get off into some more teaching, and if someone wants some talk, all they have to do is just get in contact with you or call you if they want to know how to get certain knowledge and how to get in. I really want to go into gods. We want to study the history of God. When did the first God, and who did the people say was the first God that came and that got started on earth? We got the history of that. I mean, the first gods that was on earth. Just like we got the history, Brother Drew, of the first God that came to the Western Hemisphere. The first God that came to the Western Hemisphere came in the 9th century. That's the number 9 on the number 9. That's all this stuff matches up when you start with the numbering system, if you read the number. This God was who we call Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Wooten, Thorn, and Frigid. The female is Frigid. Those are Viking gods. Leif Erik the Red was the first one that came over here. Then the next god that came over here from across the water, the conquistadors brought him. They brought Jesus Krishna over here. Then the next god that came over here came in the 13th century. His name was Jesus Christian. The British brought him, the English people, which are called British from the Germanic tribes or the Druids. They brought him. The Anglo-Saxons came in the 15th century over here and brought a god called Jesus the Christ to this country. Now, Buddha had been coming in here on the slave ships, the people from China and stuff that believed in the god Buddha, they came over here. And the people that believe in the god Allah came over here on the on the slave ship, a lot of those people came over here. Most of those people came over here, believed in a God called Allah when he got over here. So we know the story of what God came over here and when he came over here. There wasn't no gods over here. This is you and, like Richard Bryce said, you done landed on Mr. Gilmore's property. Well, you done landed on Yah's property when you come to the western hill. This is the land of Yah. There wasn't no gods over here. The gods travel from the east to the west. Masons will tell you that. How you traveling from east to west? Why are you traveling from east to west? God came from the east to the west. And that's because this is what's called Athara. This was named Haya. And you would hear the indigenous people, white folks made them quit dancing the ghost dance because they got scared of it, because them so-called Indians that was deep with the spirit of Yah could get in touch with them. They quit making them up. You heard them out of Haya, 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 Haya. You would hear the forefathers say that. Grandpa used to sing it all the time. They was giving honor to Haya, not praising him, not worshiping him, but just thinking him that they're in the ways of him. It ain't about no praising, and it ain't about no worshiping. Haya, it's only about obedience to the laws and the dietary laws, and that's what it's about. So that's what I want to go through. And we got 330,000 gods came from the east to the west. It's just like, I know you've been a Muslim before, brother Drew, and it's just like the Kaaba. The Kaaba was. Muhammad went in there with 360 gods in the Kaaba, and Muhammad killed all of them, cut their head off. That's exactly what we're doing over here. Cutting the head of all the gods, cutting their throat, sticking them in that fifth rib, and they never say a mumbling word. Because if it's a god, we know when you came into existence, brother. And if you go in the Bible's a unique big book. What I want to do is a preacher tell me to explain Habakkuk 2 and 2, because they say they don't know where God come from. But in Habakkuk 2 and 2, it said God came from T-Man, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. Now, T-Man is in the Caucasus Mountain. So that's in Tibet. first thing you ask a Christian. You think I'm like, you know, I got all them hit lists, the 360 questions I can ask the Christian. He can't answer, but it's in his Bible. I know where to look for it in his Bible. You ask him, where did God come from? They say, they don't know where God come from, but it's a funny thing. They Bible say God came from T-Man. I wonder, could we get somebody to explain that, Brother Drew? One of them good Christians out there explain to old meatballs some stuff. That Christian with that ALS. If you're a Christian and out there listening, you can tell your preacher. You know, I know he got a doctor's degree in theology. Tell him to ask old meatball, let meatball ask him some questions, see can he answer. You know. Brother Drew, and until next week, I'm going to say Yah Shalom.
See y'all next week. All right,
yes,
Brother
sir.
Dwight, and we thank you for being on again, and to all the brothers and sisters that's listening, we'll be on again next week, 8 p.m. Central. Phone number is 909-265-9220. We'll be on teaching again, where did God come from? That's the lesson for next week. Until then, we close out, and we say thank you.